whispers carried through the sandstone canyons like ancient spirits, winding between the towering mesas where the Nahimana pack had made their home for centuries. Sakina stood at the edge of the cliff, her raven hair dancing wildly in the desert. Wind as her eyes tracked the movement below, Adahi leading the hunt with powerful strides that betrayed his true nature. Even in human form, he moved with the unmistakable grace of the Alpha Wolf. "You shouldn't watch him like that," came a voice behind her. Sakina's younger sister, Nita, approached with cautious steps. "People talk enough already." "Let them talk," Sakina replied, though she stepped back from the ledge. At 28, she had long stopped caring what the Elder Council thought of her fascination with the pack's most revered leader. "Did Grandmother send you to find me?" Nita nodded. "The ceremony begins at sundown. She says your absence would be noticed." The annual Binding Moon ceremony was the most sacred night in their calendar, the night when pack bonds were renewed and, occasionally, new mates were chosen. Sakina's stomach tightened at the thought. This year was different. This year, Adahi was expected to choose. "I'll be there," she promised, though her voice lacked conviction. The great hall buzzed with anticipation as hundreds of candles illuminated, the space carved directly into the Red Canyon wall. Generations of shifters had gathered here, their ceremonies unchanged since before Europeans set foot on their lands. Modern America might exist beyond their territory, but here, ancient traditions prevailed. Sakina took her place among the Ai, unmarried women, wearing the traditional white buckskin dress her grandmother had spent months preparing. Intricate beadwork caught the candlelight, symbols of protection and strength woven into every inch. Across the hall, Adai entered with his council. At 35, he carried himself with the confidence of a man accustomed to command. His dark eyes swept the gathering, lingering momentarily on Sakina before moving on. "Brothers and sisters," Elder Maka's voice echoed through the hall, silencing all conversation. "Tonight we gather under the Binding Moon, as our ancestors have, done since time immemorial." As the ceremony progressed, Sakina found herself watching Adahi closely. Something seemed different. His movements were tense, his gaze distracted. When it came time for him to speak, he approached the central fire with uncharacteristic hesitation. "Tonight," he began, his deep voice resonating through the hall, "I come before you as your alpha, but also as a man with a request." The assembly fell completely silent. "The traditional choosing of a mate is an honor I have postponed for many years, focusing instead on leading our pack through challenging times. But I can no longer deny what my spirit demands." Whispers erupted as Adahi's eyes found Sakina's across the fire. "I ask for the hand of Sakina, daughter of the late Beta Kame, to stand as my equal and lead our pack into the future." Gasps rippled through the gathering. While Sakina came from a respected lineage, she had always been an outsider in spirit. Too independent, too questioning of traditions. Elder Maka's face darkened with disapproval. "This is unexpected," the elder said carefully. "The council must convene on this matter." But Adahi's expression hardened. "With respect, elder, this is not a matter for council deliberation. The Alpha's choice has been tradition since our first ancestors. I have made mine." Before Maka could respond, a violent tremor shook the cavern, sending small stones cascading from the ceiling. The fire at the center flared unnaturally high, bathing everything in blood-red light. And in that moment, something in Adahi's eyes changed. Flash of something ancient and disturbing. "What you have made is a grave mistake," came a new voice, raspy, female, and filled with venom. The crowd parted to reveal Lenora, the pack's eldest member and rumored witch. Her gnarled fingers clutched a staff topped with the skull of some unidentifiable creature. "You dare interrupt the sacred ceremony?" Elder Maka challenged. "I dare to prevent catastrophe," Lenora replied, her milky eyes fixed on Adahi. This union cannot proceed. The signs are clear. The howling spirit has marked him. Murmurs of fear spread through the assembly. The howling spirit was an ancient legend, a malevolent force that twisted a shifter's protective instincts into something dangerous and obsessive. Absurd superstition, Adahi growled, but Sakina noticed how his hands trembled slightly. Lenora approached him without fear, reaching up to touch his forehead. It has already begun. The curse of your bloodline awakens. Your great-grandfather's sins return to claim their price. Adahi jerked away from her touch. Enough, I will not have our most sacred night defiled by fairy tales. But as he spoke, his eyes flashed amber, not the controlled glow of a shifter embracing their power, but something wild and uncontained. Several pack members stepped back instinctively. Sakina, Lenora turned to her now. Do you accept this man as your mate, knowing what awakens within him? All eyes turned to her, waiting. She looked at Adai, the man she had secretly loved for years, and saw both determination and fear warring in his expression. She began, but was interrupted by another tremor, stronger this time. A deep crack appeared in the stone, floor between them, as if the earth itself sought to separate them. From the crack, a thin wisp of dark smoke curled upward, bringing with it the scent of decay and something else. Something ancient. The time of reckoning has come, Lenora announced to the now terrified assembly. What was buried for generations rises again. The Alpha is cursed, and his desire will destroy us all if the cycle is not broken. What cycle? Sakina demanded, finding her voice at last. Speak plainly, Elder. The curse of obsession, Lenora replied. It begins with love, turns to possession, then destruction. Your ancestors knew this well, child. Both your bloodlines are entwined in this curse, predator and prey, locked in eternal struggle. Adahi lunged forward, crossing the crack in the floor to stand before Sakina protectively. I would never harm her. Not willingly, Lenora agreed. But the curse doesn't care for your intentions. It feeds on your love and twists it into something monstrous. As if to punctuate her warning, the crack in the floor widened. Several pack members shifted instinctively, their wolf forms crouching defensively as the smoke thickened. The ceremony is ended, Elder Maka declared, gesturing for everyone to leave the chamber. We will reconvene when these omens have been properly interpreted. As the hall emptied, Adahi caught Sakina's arm. Do not listen to her, he whispered urgently. These are the desperate tactics of elders who fear change. Then why are you shaking? Sakina asked quietly, feeling the tremors in his grip. Before he could answer, Lenora appeared beside them. The truth lies beneath the ancient dwelling place, she said cryptically. Seek Nehio's writings in the forgotten caves. There you will find both your doom and your salvation. With those words, she shuffled away, leaving Sakina and Adahi alone in the now empty hall, the unnatural crack in the floor still smoking between them. A physical manifestation of the chasm that had suddenly opened in their future. I don't believe in curses, Adahi said firmly, though his eyes darted to the crack. Neither did I, Sakina replied. But I believe in you, and something is happening to you, isn't it? Something you've been hiding. His silence was answer enough. Then we find these writings, she decided, together. A howl echoed from somewhere deep in the canyon, mournful, threatening, and impossibly ancient. And as they turned to leave the chamber, neither noticed how the smoke from the crack seemed to follow them, curling possessively around Adahi's ankles like shadowy chains. Destiny had been set in motion, and its path led straight into darkness. Darkness enveloped the narrow passage as Sakina and Adahi ventured deeper into the forgotten network of caves beneath the mesa. 3 days had passed since the disastrous ceremony, and though the council had demanded they maintain distance until a decision was reached, neither could ignore Lenora's cryptic warning. According to the old maps, Nehio's sanctuary should be just ahead, Sakina whispered, her flashlight beam dancing across ancient petroglyphs that lined the walls. Images of wolves and men, intertwined in what could be either embrace or combat. Adahi walked close behind her, his presence both reassuring and increasingly unsettling. Since the ceremony, subtle changes had manifested. His scent carried a new undertone of something primal. His eyes occasionally gleamed amber without warning, and his protective stance toward her had intensified beyond normal bounds. "These tunnels haven't been used in generations," he observed, running his fingers along a carving of a great wolf standing over a human form. "Why would the answers to our present lie abandoned in the past? Because some truths are too dangerous to keep close," came a voice from the darkness ahead. Both froze, Adahi instinctively moving in front of Sakina as his eyes flared with golden light. From the shadows emerged not a threat, but Elder Maka, holding an ancient oil lamp. "You should not be here," Adahi growled, his voice carrying a resonance that echoed unnaturally in the confined space. "Neither should you," Maka replied calmly. "Yet here we all are, drawn by the same current of fate." He lifted his lamp higher, illuminating a circular chamber just ahead. "I suspected you would come seeking answers. I merely arrived first." Sakina stepped around Adahi, noting how his hand briefly clutched at her arm before reluctantly releasing her. "You know about the curse?" "I know that our histories contain warnings," Maka answered carefully. "Nehio was not merely a healer, but a prophet. His writings speak of a shadow that passes through bloodlines, awakening when certain souls reconnect." He gestured for them to follow him into the chamber. Ancient shelves carved directly into the stone walls held dozens of leather-bound journals and scrolls. At the center stood a stone table, upon which lay an open manuscript. "I've found references to your families," Maka continued. "The connection between the lineage of Adahi's great-grandfather, Chief Makia, and your ancestor Istas." "Istas," Sakina frowned. "My grandmother mentioned that name, but only to say she brought shame to our family." "History is written by those who survive, not those who loved unwisely," Maka said, his fingers tracing the faded text. "According to Nehio's account, Chief Makia and Istas fell deeply in love, but their union was forbidden. Makia was already promised to another for political alliance." "A common enough story," Adahi said dismissively. "What does this have to do with us?" "Because of what happened next," Maka said gravely. "Rather than accept their separation, Makia became consumed by his desire for Istas. His love transformed into obsession, then possession. The wolf spirit that granted him strength began to corrupt his mind." Sakina felt a chill that had nothing to do with the underground air. "And Istas?" "She sought help from Nehio, who recognized the ancient curse taking hold. A malevolent spirit that feeds on love and transforms it into destruction. It had claimed others before them, always following the same pattern." Maka turned the brittle page to reveal an illustration, a man with a wolf's shadow extending behind him, reaching with clawed hands toward a woman surrounded by protective symbols. The curse bound them together in the most tragic way. The more Istas tried to escape, the more violently Makia's obsession grew. "Eventually, he killed her," Adahi finished quietly. "Worse," Maka shook his head. "He claimed her, marked her as his mate against her will, and when she still tried to flee, his rage consumed them both. They died in a fire of his making, along with many innocent pack members." The silence that followed was heavy with implication. Sakina found herself taking an unconscious step away from Adahi, whose breathing had become shallow and rapid. "I would never harm Sakina," he insisted, though his voice held an edge of desperation. "This is ancient history, not our destiny." "The curse doesn't create feelings that weren't there," Maka explained. "It corrupts what is pure. Your love for Sakina is genuine, Adahi, which makes you the perfect vessel for its resurrection. You speak as if this curse is sentient, Sakina said. All powerful magics contain a form of consciousness, Maka replied. This one feeds on the corruption of love. It has slept in your bloodlines for generations, awakening only when the descendants of Makia and Istas find each other again. Can it be broken? Sakina asked. Maka hesitated. Nihio believed so, but the final pages of his journal are missing. He gestured to several empty shelves. Many of his writings were removed or destroyed during the Great Purge, when our pack tried to modernize and distance itself from the old magics. Adahi suddenly doubled over, a groan escaping his lips as he braced himself against the stone table. Adahi! Sakina moved toward him, but Maka caught her arm. Don't, he warned. The proximity strengthens the curse's hold. I'm fine, Adahi growled, though his eyes had turned completely amber now, and veins of darkness were visible beneath his skin. Just a momentary weakness. The curse grows stronger, Maka observed grimly. Already it feeds on your emotions. Then we have to find the rest of Nehio's writings, Sakina insisted. There must be someone who knows where. Lenora, Adahi said, straightening with visible effort. She seemed to know more than she revealed. Maka nodded slowly. Lenora's grandmother was keeper of the old ways during the purge. If anyone preserved Nehio's knowledge, it would be her family. A distant rumble shook dust from the ceiling, and Adahi's expression suddenly changed. Someone's coming. Many someones. His heightened senses had detected what the others couldn't yet perceive. The council, Maka realized. They must have followed me. We need to leave separately. They cannot find you two together. It will only accelerate matters. I won't leave Sakina, Adahi said, his tone suddenly possessive. You must, Maka insisted, for her safety. The statement hung in the air, and Sakina watched something war within Adahi's eyes. Rationality against instinct. Go to my cabin, Sakina said gently. I'll find Lenora and meet you there after nightfall. For a moment she thought he would refuse, but with visible effort, Adahi nodded. Until nightfall. No later. The command in his voice was unmistakable. Maka gave Sakina a worried glance, but said nothing as Adahi disappeared down one of the branching tunnels. His control is already fraying, the elder said once they were alone. The council plans to separate you permanently for the safety of the pack. They would exile him, Sakina asked, horrified. They're considering more permanent solutions, Maka replied grimly. The memories of the last outbreak are still vivid in our oldest members' minds. Outbreak? There have been others? 3. Generations ago, a distant cousin of your family and a beta from Adahi's line. The destruction was substantial. Another rumble, closer now. Voices echoed from the main tunnel. Go, Maka urged. Find Lenora. I'll delay them. Sakina hesitated. Why are you helping us? The council would see this as betrayal. Because I remember what it was to love someone so completely, he replied softly. And because I believe some curses exist to be broken, not merely survived. With a final grateful nod, Sakina slipped into a narrow passage that Maka indicated would lead to the surface near Lenora's dwelling. The ancient witch's home perched precariously on the edge of the canyon, a strange blend of traditional hogan and modern cabin. As Sakina approached, the scent of burning sage and cedar filled the air. I've been expecting you, Lenora said, appearing suddenly in the doorway. Though later than I anticipated. Maka always was one for long explanations. You know why I've come? Sakina asked, trying to hide her surprise. The curse awakens. The alpha changes. The cycle begins anew. Lenora stepped aside. Enter freely, daughter of Istas. and we shall speak of breaking what was never meant to be mended. The interior was cluttered with an eclectic collection of traditional medicines, modern books, and artifacts that straddled the line between ceremonial and magical. Photos of PAC members spanning generations lined one wall, with certain faces marked by a strange symbol. "Those touched by the curse," Lenora explained, noticing Sakina's gaze. "Your ancestor, Istas, was neither its first nor its last victim." "Maka said you might have Nehio's missing writings," Sakina said, coming directly to the point. "Direct, like your grandmother," Lenora chuckled dryly. "Yes, my family preserved what the pack sought to destroy." She moved to an old trunk bound with copper and iron. "The curse is older than our people, child. It came with the first shifter who yielded to darkness for power." From the trunk, she withdrew a leather bundle wrapped in protective cloth. "The original spirit was a guardian of sacred bonds," Lenora continued as she unwrapped the ancient text. "But it was corrupted by a shifter who used it to force a mate bond that was rejected. The violation transformed it into something that feeds on possessive love, a parasite that grows stronger with each generation it infects." "How do we break it?" Sakina asked. Lenora's expression grew solemn. "The only documented method requires a terrible sacrifice. The cursed must willingly relinquish what they desire most, must sever the bond themselves when the curse is at its strongest." "That's all? Adahi would have to give me up?" "Not merely give you up, child. When the curse reaches its peak, the possessed shifter exists in a state of near madness. Their entire being revolves around possessing their fixation. To break the curse in that moment would be like tearing out one's own heart." "But it's possible?" "Theoretically. But no one has ever succeeded." Lenora paused, her milky eyes finding Sakina's with uncanny precision. "There is, however, another possibility," Nehio explored in his final writings. She turned brittle pages until she found what she sought. A complex diagram of celestial alignment surrounding two figures. "The convergence of twin moons," Lenora explained. "A celestial event occurring once every 70 years when our reality thins and ancient magics can be more easily manipulated." Sakina studied the diagram. "When is the next convergence?" 3 nights from now." A chill ran through Sakina. "That's not much time." "It never is when fate decides to collect old debts," Lenora said. "The ritual would require both of you to enter the spirit realm together, confront the curse entity directly, and reclaim what it has stolen from your bloodlines. Has anyone ever attempted this?" "Once. They did not return." Lenora closed the book carefully. "The danger is immense. The curse entity has grown powerful over centuries of feeding on corrupted bonds. And Adahi, what about him? The further the curse progresses, the less of him remains. Already he changes. The Adahi who enters the spirit realm with you may not be the man you know." As if summoned by her words, a howl echoed across the canyon, deep, resonant, and carrying an undercurrent of something ancient and hungry. "He grows impatient," Lenora observed. "The separation pains him. Soon, he will not permit it at all." Sakina moved to the window and saw a large black wolf pacing at the edge of the tree line below, far larger than Adahi's normal wolf form, with eyes that glowed. "Like molten gold, even at this distance. Take these." Lenora pressed a small leather pouch and Nehio's journal into Sakina's hands. "The herbs will help him maintain control temporarily. The journal contains the ritual for the convergence. Study it carefully." "Thank you," Sakina said, tucking both items securely into her jacket. "Do not thank me yet," Lenora replied grimly. "I offer you knowledge, not salvation. The path ahead leads through darkness either way." Another howl, closer now, and more demanding. "Go to him," Lenora advised. Each moment of resistance only strengthens the curse's hold. Play the willing mate while you prepare for the convergence. And if the council interferes? They will. Prepare for that as well. Lenora touched Sakina's forehead gently. You carry your ancestor's spirit, child, but you need not share her fate. As Sakina descended toward the waiting wolf, she felt the weight of generations pressing upon her shoulders. Behind her stood centuries of tragedy and broken bonds. Ahead lay either liberation or the perpetuation of an ancient cycle of destruction. The black wolf watched her approach, its massive form unnaturally still, except for the steady rise and fall of its breathing. As she drew near, it threw back its head and released another howl, not of longing this time, but of triumph. Possession had begun its inexorable transformation into obsession, and time was already running out. Flames danced hypnotically in the stone fireplace, casting long shadows across Adahi's cabin as Sakina carefully measured herbs from Lenora's pouch into a steel mug of steaming water. 2 days had passed since their discoveries in the Forgotten Caves, and Adahi's condition deteriorated with each passing sunset. The tea, brewed from sacred plants that grew only in the highest reaches of the canyon, seemed to provide temporary clarity, pushing back the curse's influence for precious hours. You think I don't notice what you're doing? Adahi said quietly from the doorway, his imposing frame silhouetted against the night sky. Drugging me like some rabid animal. Sakina maintained her composure despite the chill his words sent through her. It helps you think clearly. We both know that. Perhaps clarity is overrated. He moved into the light, and Sakina tried not to flinch at his appearance. Dark veins now visibly mapped his neck and temples, his eyes permanently tinged with amber, luminescence. Most disturbing was his scent, the familiar pine and earth notes now laced with something ancient and predatory. Perhaps what the elders call a curse is actually liberation. Liberation from what? Sakina asked, offering him the steaming mug. His fingers brushed hers deliberately as he took it. From pretending, from denying what we truly are. He inhaled the steam, but didn't drink. The pack lives half lives, Sakina. Human rules constraining wolf instincts. Civilized masks over primal needs. And what are those primal needs telling you now? She maintained steady eye contact despite the danger, radiating from him. A slow smile spread across his face. To claim what's mine. To eliminate threats. He finally sipped the tea, wincing slightly at its bitterness. To ensure you never leave my side. The possessiveness in his tone should have terrified her. Yet beneath the curse's influence, she glimpsed the real Adahi, the leader who had protected their pack through drought and encroaching development, who had carried elders to safety during the Great Fire 3 years ago. The convergence is tomorrow night, she reminded him gently. Nahio's ritual is our best chance to break the curse. And if I don't want it broken? His voice dropped dangerously. If what flows through me now feels more authentic than anything I've ever experienced, then it's already taken more of you than I realized. Something flickered in his expression, a momentary clarity. He drained the tea in one long swallow and set the mug down with exaggerated control. Tell me about this ritual again, he said, his voice steadier. While I can still listen. Relieved, Sakina retrieved Nahio's journal from its hiding place beneath a floorboard. At midnight, when the twin moons align perfectly, we must enter the sacred hot springs at the heart of Ghost Canyon. The mineral-rich waters will open, the gateway to the spirit realm where the curse entity resides. And once there, we confront the spirit directly and perform the unbinding ceremony. She carefully omitted certain details, specifically that one of them might not return. Some burdens were hers alone to carry. Adahi nodded slowly, the herbs temporarily dampening the curse's influence. The council will try to stop us. Maka sent warning through his granddaughter. They've called for shifters from allied packs to help contain me. When? They arrive tomorrow. Wolf warriors from the Northern Territories. Specialists in handling rogues. His expression darkened, momentarily. Your sister voted with them. The revelation stung, though Sakina couldn't entirely blame Nita. From the outside, Adahi's transformation appeared to be the emergence of a dangerous rogue alpha, a threat to everyone. Then we leave tonight, Sakina decided. Make our way to Ghost Canyon early and wait for the convergence. Adi's eyes narrowed. You've prepared for this. You knew we would run. I hoped we wouldn't need to, she corrected. But yes, I've packed essentials. Ghost Canyon is 6 hours through the backcountry. If we travel through the night, we'll arrive with time to prepare. A low growl rumbled in his chest, not entirely human. Always the strategist. It's why you would make a perfect alpha mate. The term sent an involuntary shiver through her that wasn't entirely fear. Despite everything, her feelings for Adahi remained unchanged, perhaps even intensified by their shared ordeal. The tea's effects won't last long, she reminded him, gathering her pre-packed rucksack. We should leave while you're... yourself. He watched her with an unreadable expression. And if I lose control during our journey? If the beast breaks through? Sakina withdrew a small silver dagger from her boot, an ancient ceremonial blade inscribed with protective symbols. Lenora gave me this. She said the silver won't kill you, but its touch will cause enough pain to momentarily break. The curses hold. You would hurt me to save me? There was a strange pride in his voice. Without hesitation, she replied honestly. His smile was both tender and predatory. Then let's hunt, little wolf. The wilderness beyond pack territory stretched, out in stark beauty under the waxing moons. Sakina and Adahi moved swiftly through pine forests and across rocky plateaus, maintaining human form to conserve energy and clarity. The night air carried whispers of approaching autumn, but heat still radiated from the sandstone that had absorbed the day's merciless sun. They paused at a natural spring 3 hours into their journey, Adahi suddenly tensing as he scanned the horizon. We're being followed, he stated flatly. Sakina followed his gaze but saw nothing in the darkness. Pack scouts? No. He inhaled deeply. Something else. Not wolf. Not human. As if summoned by his words, a strange mist began forming at the edges of the clearing, unnatural in its movement, coiling like living smoke. Within it, Sakina glimpsed fleeting images. Faces contorted in anguish, reaching hands, and most, disturbingly, her own reflection with eyes as black as midnight. Manifestations, she whispered, recognizing the phenomenon from Nahio's descriptions. The curse reaches across the veil as the convergence approaches. The mist thickened, and within it appeared a feminine figure of unsettling beauty, translucent, but growing more substantial with each step toward them. Her features shifted between those of different women, but her eyes remained constant, black voids that reflected no light. Beloved, the apparition whispered in a voice that seemed composed of many speaking in unison. Why do you run from what is inevitable? The words were directed at Adahi, who had gone rigid beside Sakina, his eyes flaring bright gold in response. She is not yours to claim, the figure continued, now only yards away. She belongs to the cycle, to us, as you do. Who are you? Sakina demanded, gripping the silver dagger tightly. The figure's attention shifted to her, and the temperature around them plummeted. We are the collected consciousness of those who love too deeply, possess too fiercely, destroyed too completely. We are what remains when obsession consumes both victim and aggressor. The curse entity, Sakina realized. You're not just influencing Adahi. You're hunting us. A smile spread across the apparition's ever-changing face. Smart little descendant. Yes. As the convergence approaches, our influence grows. Why wait for the Alpha to complete the cycle when we can simply claim you both now? Beside her, Adahi dropped to his knees, dark veins spreading visibly across his face as he fought for control. Run! He managed to growl, his voice distorting. Sakina! Run! Instead, she stepped between him and the advancing entity, the silver dagger extended before her. You have no power here except what we grant you, she stated firmly, recalling Lenora's teachings. This is our world, not yours. Return to your realm until we summon you properly. The apparition hissed, its form rippling with rage. You cannot command us, daughter of Istas. Your blood is already part of our collective. Your resistance only makes the eventual surrender sweeter. Perhaps, Sakina acknowledged. But not tonight. With precise movements, she slashed the dagger through the air in the pattern Lenora had taught her, not attacking the entity directly, but cutting the energetic cords that connected it to their reality. The figure shrieked, its form beginning to dissolve at the edges. Tomorrow night, it promised as it faded. When the moons align, there will be no barrier between worlds, and your Alpha will complete what generations have begun. As the apparition vanished completely, Adahi collapsed forward, his breathing ragged and labored. Sakina knelt beside him, noting with alarm how the dark veins now covered most of his exposed skin. That wasn't supposed to happen, she murmured, quickly preparing another dose of Lenora's herbs. The entity shouldn't be able to manifest until the convergence. It's getting stronger, Adahi gasped, accepting the hastily prepared medicine. Using me as an anchor in this world. He drank the bitter mixture and grimaced. It wants you, Sakina. Not just as a sacrifice. It wants your spirit added to its collective. Why me, specifically? Because you fight. Because you're not afraid. His eyes, momentarily clear, looked into hers with desperate intensity. The others before us, they surrendered to their fate. But you challenge it. That makes you valuable. Well, it can't have either of us, she stated firmly, helping him to his feet. We need to keep moving. Ghost Canyon is still 3 hours away. As they continued their journey, Sakina felt a growing weight settling over them. Not just the physical exhaustion of their trek, but a spiritual heaviness, as if reality itself was becoming more dense and difficult to navigate. The curses, manifestation had shaken her more than she wanted to admit. The entity wasn't simply a malevolent force inflicting itself upon Adahi. It was a conscious, calculating intelligence with its own agenda. Dawn broke over Ghost Canyon in streaks of crimson and gold, illuminating the ancient geological wonder that had served as sacred ground for countless generations. Steam rose from the mineral-rich hot springs that dotted the canyon floor, creating an otherworldly landscape of mist and shadow. Sakina and Adahi made their final descent in silence, each lost in private thoughts. The herbs had maintained Adahi's lucidity through the night, but his increasingly frequent glances toward her carried a hungry intensity that suggested their effectiveness was waning. These springs were ancient before our people found them, Adahi said as they reached the canyon floor. The earliest shifters believed they were doorways to the spirit world. And they were right, Sakina replied, consulting Nehio's journal. According to his writings, the central pool, there beneath the hanging rock formation, is where the veil is thinnest during the convergence. They approached the steaming pool cautiously. Unlike the others scattered throughout the canyon, this one glimmered with an opalescent sheen, its waters shifting through colors that shouldn't exist in nature. We have hours until the alignment, Sakina noted, checking the position of the fading moon against Nehio's celestial charts. We should rest while we can. Adahi nodded, though his restless energy suggested sleep would elude him. They made camp in a small cave overlooking the springs, its walls adorned with ancient petroglyphs depicting human and animal forms merging together in sacred union. As Sakina prepared a small fire, Adahi traced the carvings with trembling fingers. Our ancestors understood transformation better than we do, he observed. They didn't fear the beast within. They celebrated its power while respecting its dangers. Is that what you feel now? Power? His expression darkened. I feel everything. Every sense heightened. Every emotion intensified. His eyes locked onto hers with frightening focus. Especially when I look at you. Sakina maintained her composure despite the predatory undercurrent in his voice. And does that scare you? What scares me, he replied carefully, is how right it feels. The curse whispers that this is how an alpha should feel about his mate. Possessive, protective, consuming. His hands clenched into fists. And part of me agrees. That's not love, Sakina said gently. That's ownership. Is it? His challenge carried genuine curiosity beneath the aggression. Our ancestors didn't make the distinctions we do. The wolf claims its mate, protects its territory, fights for what belongs to it. And the human part balances those instincts with respect and choice, she countered. That's what separates us from mundane wolves. Our ability to choose connection over possession. Something in her words seemed to reach him. He moved away from the petroglyphs and sat heavily beside the small fire, his massive frame suddenly looking vulnerable. I am losing that balance, he admitted quietly. With each passing hour, the distinction between wanting you and needing to possess you blurs. Soon there will be no difference at all. Sakina joined him, careful to maintain distance that wouldn't trigger his increasingly possessive instincts. Then we focus on tonight, on breaking the curse before it breaks you. He nodded, though doubt clouded his features. And if we fail? The question hung between them, weighted with unspoken implications. Sakina thought of the silver dagger concealed in her boot, her last resort if everything went wrong. We won't, she said with more conviction than she felt. As the day progressed, Adahi's condition visibly deteriorated despite the herbal tea. The dark veins beneath his skin pulsed with ominous rhythm, and he alternated between periods of unnervingly intense focus on Sakina and moments of pacing agitation when he wouldn't look at her at all. By late afternoon, he could no longer tolerate being inside the small cave with her. Your scent, he explained through gritted teeth, his voice distorting around elongated canines. It's doing things to me, making it harder to fight. He retreated to a ledge outside, where Sakina could monitor him while completing the ritual preparations. From Nihio's journal, she gathered sacred herbs that grew among the canyon rocks, grinding them into a paste that would anoint their foreheads before entering the spirit realm. As sunset approached, painting the canyon walls in deepening crimson, a distant howl echoed through the stone corridors, then another, and another. They've found us, Adahi growled, his silhouette rigid against the darkening sky. The council's enforcers. Sakina joined him at the ledge, squinting at the canyon rim where dark shapes moved against the horizon. How many? At least 8. Northern Pack specialists. His jaw tightened. Your sister leads them. The revelation sent a jolt through Sakina. Nita wouldn't. She would if she believed she was saving you from me. Bitterness edged his words. They'll reach us before midnight. Sakina considered their options, calculating distances and timing. We need to move to the central pool now. Begin the preparations early. The alignment won't be perfect until midnight, I know. But we can complete the initial stages. Be ready the moment the convergence begins. She gripped his arm, feeling the unnatural heat radiating through his skin. It's our only chance. His eyes, now more wolf than human, studied her face with frightening intensity. You're not telling me everything about this ritual. She held his gaze steadily. No, I'm not. Rather than anger, His expression showed something like respect. "Always the strategist," he repeated his earlier observation. "Lead on, then. I'll hold them off as long as possible." "We go together," she insisted. "I'm not leaving you to face them alone." Something primal flashed in his eyes. Possession, mingled with pride. "As you wish." They descended to the canyon floor, just as the first stars appeared in the deepening twilight. The central pool seemed to respond to the approaching night, its waters pulsing with stronger luminescence, steam rising in patterns too deliberate to be natural. Following Nehio's instructions, Sakuna drew a circle of sacred symbols around the pool, while Adahi, fighting for control with each passing minute, gathered specific stones from the canyon walls to place at cardinal points. The howls grew closer, echoing from multiple directions now, the hunting party splitting up to surround them. "They're trying to contain, not kill," Adahi observed, his tactical mind still functioning beneath the curse's influence. "Standard protocol for rogue alpha situations." His laugh held no humor. "I helped write those protocols." "Then you know their weaknesses," Sakina said, completing the protective circle. "They have none," he replied grimly. "They're chosen for absolute loyalty to pack law above personal feeling. Even Nita will not hesitate if she believes you're in danger." As if summoned by his words, a voice called down from a ledge 50 feet above them. "Sakina!" Nita's familiar voice carried clearly in the canyon acoustics. "Step away from him. The council has declared intervention." Sakina straightened, meeting her sister's gaze across the distance. "There won't be an intervention, Nita. We're breaking the curse tonight." Disbelief crossed Nita's features. "There's no breaking this curse. You know the histories." "We know a way," Sakina called back. "The convergence of twin moons. Nehio's ritual." Murmurs spread among the shadowed figures now visible on various ledges surrounding the canyon floor. At least a dozen shifters, more than Adahi had estimated. An older warrior stepped forward beside Nita. "That ritual is a death sentence. No one has ever returned from it." "Because no one has ever done it correctly," Sakina replied with confidence she didn't entirely feel. "We have Nehio's complete journal." Uncertainty rippled through the hunting party, giving Sakina a crucial moment of hesitation to exploit. "You all know Adahi," she continued, her voice carrying to every corner of the canyon. "He has led our pack with honor for a decade. He saved many of your families during the Great Fire. He negotiated peace with the Eastern Packs when war seemed inevitable." She moved to stand beside him, deliberately taking his hand despite the visible shock this caused the watchers. The contact sent a charge through Adahi that she felt in the sudden tension of his muscles. "The curse is not his fault, but a legacy inflicted on both our bloodlines," she continued. "If you force intervention, now you condemn not just him, but every future generation that might carry this burden." Her words found purchase. The hunting party exchanged glances, their absolute certainty visibly wavering. Nita spoke again, her voice smaller now. "The council voted, Sakina. We have orders." "Since when do Nahimana wolves blindly follow orders, without questioning their conscience?" Sakina challenged. "You've seen the change in him. You know this isn't the Adahi who taught you to track when you were 12, who stood beside our father at his final passage." A heavy silence followed, broken only by the bubbling of the thermal pools and the increasingly labored breathing of Adahi beside her. His grip on her hand had tightened painfully, the curse responding to the perceived threat with mounting aggression. Finally, the elder warrior spoke. "How long do you need?" "Until midnight," Sakina replied. "When the moons align directly overhead." He considered this, then nodded slowly. "We will hold position until then. If the ritual shows any sign of failing, if he loses control completely, we intervene." "Those are my terms." "Agreed," Sakina said quickly, before Adahi could object. Nita looked torn between relief and worry. Be careful, sister, she called softly. His eyes, they're not his anymore. As the hunting party retreated to watchful positions around the canyon, Sakina turned to assess Adahi. Nita was right. His eyes now glowed with an intensity that seemed to emanate from somewhere beyond. Him, the amber light occasionally shifting to something darker, more ancient. They should have taken you when they had the chance, he said, his voice a rasping growl. It would have been safer for everyone. Safety isn't what I'm after, she replied, guiding him toward the central pool, which now pulsed in time, with the veins beneath his skin. What then? He asked, his focus unnervingly absolute as they stepped into the warm, mineral-rich water. Sakina applied the ceremonial paste to his forehead, then her own, reciting the ancient words Nehio had transcribed. Freedom, she answered simply, for both of us. As they sank deeper into the opalescent waters, steam enveloping them in its otherworldly embrace, the first moon crested the canyon rim directly above, its silver light striking the pool's surface like a physical force. The boundary between worlds began to thin, and somewhere beyond the veil, something ancient stirred in anticipation. Mist wrapped around Sakina like grasping fingers as she fought to orient herself in the spirit realm. The transition had been violent, a sensation of being simultaneously drowned and torn apart, then reassembled in this place of perpetual twilight. Spectral trees surrounded her, their transparent forms echoing the pines of the physical world, but distorted into shapes that suggested sentience and malice. Adahi, she called, her voice creating ripples in the mist rather than sound waves. No answer came, but a distant howl echoed through the unnatural forest, familiar yet wrong, like a beloved melody played in a discordant key. According to Nehio's journal, separation during the transition was dangerous, but not unexpected. The spirit realm manifested differently for each entrant, shaped by their deepest fears and desires. Finding each other would be the first challenge. Sakina moved cautiously through the ghostly landscape, following instincts that felt older than her conscious mind. The ground beneath her feet seemed solid one moment, and insubstantial the next, requiring a peculiar faith in each step. Above, where a sky should have been, swirled colors that had no names in human language. You should not have come here, daughter of Istas. The voice emanated from everywhere and nowhere. Sakina turned slowly, finding herself face to face with an elderly woman whose features shifted subtly between human and wolf, her eyes holding the wisdom of centuries. You're not the curse entity, Sakina observed carefully. A smile creased the ancient face. No, I am what remains of Nehio's spirit, bound to this realm to guide those foolish enough to attempt his ritual. She gestured to the unsettling forest around them. Few have reached even this far. Where is Adahi? The Alpha walks a different path, Nehio replied. As it must be. The curse entity holds him closer than you, has deeper hooks in his spirit. I need to find him. You need to understand what you face first. Nehio's form rippled, and suddenly they stood before what appeared to be a pool of black liquid that reflected nothing. Look. Reluctantly, Sakina approached the pool. Rather than reflections, images formed within its depths, scenes from the past playing out in horrifying clarity. She saw Makya, Adahi's ancestor, his face contorted with possessive rage as he pursued a fleeing woman, Istas. The primal fury in his expression matched what she had glimpsed in Adahi's eyes as the curse strengthened. The first manifestation in your bloodlines, Nehio narrated, but not the beginning. The scene shifted to earlier times, different faces, different places, but the same pattern. Love corrupted into obsession, possession leading to destruction. With each iteration, the entity grew stronger, feeding on the emotional devastation it created. It's a parasite, Sakina realized. It doesn't just corrupt love, It harvests it. Yes, Nahio confirmed. It was once a guardian spirit of mate bonds, created to bless unions between shifters. But a desperate alpha, rejected by his chosen mate, captured and corrupted it, transformed its protective nature into something possessive and destructive. And now it exists to perpetuate that corruption. It exists to feed, Nahio corrected. On the energy generated when sacred bonds are violated, on the spiritual devastation when love becomes destruction. The black pool rippled again, showing Adahi as he moved through a landscape similar to Sakina's, but bathed in crimson light. Dark shapes stalked him from just beyond the trees, their forms suggesting wolves but moving in ways no natural creature could. He fights the curse's influence even here, Nahio observed. Most are completely subsumed by this point. How do I reach him? Sakina demanded. You don't. Not yet. Nahio's expression grew grave. First, you must understand the price of what you attempt. Breaking the curse requires more than courage, or clever ritual. It demands sacrifice. My life, Sakina stated flatly. I know. I read the missing pages Lenora preserved. Surprise flickered across Nahio's shifting features. And yet you came anyway. The alternative was watching Adahi destroy himself and others, then be executed by our own people. Sakina met the ancient spirit's gaze steadily. My choice was simple, but incomplete, Nahio countered. The sacrifice required is not necessarily your life, but rather what you value most. For some, that has indeed been their physical existence. For others. She gestured again to the pool, which now showed something unexpected. Sakina saw herself and Adahi in a future that would never exist, standing together before their assembled pack, a traditional mate bond ceremony in progress. The vision shifted to show them years later, with children, leadership, a lifetime of connection. The curse entity knows your deepest desire, Nahio said softly. It will use this against you. Pain lanced through Sakina at the vision of a future now impossible. How do I find him? Nahio nodded, respecting her decision to move forward despite the revelation. Follow the howl that calls to your blood. But be warned, what wears Adahi's form may no longer be entirely him. With those ominous words, Nahio's spirit faded into the mist, leaving Sakina alone in the twilight forest once more. Taking a deep breath that filled her lungs with the strange not air of the spirit realm, Sakina closed her eyes and opened her other senses, the ones that connected her to her wolf nature, to the pack bonds that defined her people. There, beneath, the unsettling silence, a distant call that resonated with her very essence. Adahi's spirit signature but distorted, like a radio signal overwhelmed by interference. She moved toward it with determined strides, the forest shifting around her in ways that defied physical laws. Distance here was measured not in steps, but in spiritual proximity, bringing her closer to her goal with each choice that affirmed her purpose. The mist thickened the closer she drew to Adahi's presence, eventually giving way to a clearing bathed in unnatural crimson light. At its center stood a stone altar that hadn't existed in the physical world, ancient and stained with what could only be blood, and before it, a figure that both was and wasn't Adahi. His physical form remained recognizable, but now the darkness that had manifested as veins beneath his skin in the material world showed its true nature. A shadowy entity partially merged with his spirit, its tendrils wrapped around his core, like parasitic roots. You shouldn't have followed me here, he said, his voice layered with another older presence. This realm isn't safe for you. Neither is our world if we don't break this curse, she replied, approaching cautiously. The shadow wrapped around him pulsed visibly at her proximity. Break it? A laugh that wasn't entirely Adahi's escaped his lips. Why would I want that? For the first time, I see clearly. Feel completely. What you feel isn't real, Sakina countered. It's manufactured by the entity feeding on you. Is it? He moved toward her with predatory grace. Or is it simply my true nature, finally unleashed? The Alpha claiming what has always been his? You don't believe that, she challenged. The real Adai respects choice above all else. It's why the pack chose you as leader. Something flickered in his eyes. A momentary clarity quickly submerged beneath the curse's influence. The real Adahi was weak, constrained by human notions of consent and restraint. The real Adahi understood that true strength comes from balance, she corrected, circling the altar to maintain distance between them, from honoring both wolf and human nature. His expression darkened. Pretty words. But we both know the truth of what beats in my heart, what has always beaten there. I want you, Sakina, not as an equal, but as mine. That's not you speaking, she insisted, though a chill ran through her at the conviction in his voice. Isn't it? He stalked closer. Haven't you seen how I watch you? Haven't you felt it for years? The restraint was the lie. This... He gestured to the shadow entity, partially visible around him. This is honesty. Before she could respond, the air between them thickened, coalescing into the feminine apparition they had encountered in the material world, but fully formed now, terrifyingly substantial. Welcome, daughter of Istas, the entity purred. Its voice a chorus of countless souls speaking in unison. We've waited centuries for this moment. Unlike in their previous encounter, Sakina could now see the entity clearly, a being composed of countless fragments of spirits, each face briefly, visible within its shifting form before being subsumed into the whole. Men and women from across time, all bearing the same tortured expression of possessive hunger. The collected consciousness, Sakina recognized, all those corrupted by the curse before us. Not corrupted, the entity corrected. Elevated. Transformed. Each soul here transcended the limitations of ordinary bonds to experience true possession. It circled her with predatory interest. As you will. I came to break the curse, not join it, Sakina stated firmly. Laughter, hundreds of voices in discordant harmony, erupted from the entity. So did they all at first. But the ritual you seek has another purpose entirely. It gestured to the stone altar. Nahio didn't create a ceremony of liberation, little wolf. He created a ceremony of transference. Cold realization washed over Sakina. The ritual doesn't destroy them. Curse! It merely passes it to a new vessel, the entity confirmed with malicious delight. Why do you think no one ever returned? They didn't die. They became us. Adahi moved to stand beside the entity, the shadow tendrils connecting them now clearly, visible. Join us willingly, he urged, his voice carrying desperate hunger. Complete the bond as it was meant to be. Never, Sakina replied, her mind racing through the implications. If the ritual was a trap, then Nahio's spirit had misled her, or been forced to mislead her. The entity's form rippled with irritation. Foolish child. Your resistance only makes the eventual joining more satisfying. It turned to Adahi. Take her. Complete what generations have begun. Conflict visibly warred across Adahi's features, the curse's influence battling against his core self. She deserves choice, he managed to say, the words seeming to cause him physical pain. Choice is an illusion, the entity hissed. There is only destiny, the path laid before your bloodline centuries ago. Complete it, or suffer eternally. As if to emphasize its point, the shadow tendrils around Adahi constricted visibly, causing him to double over in agony. Sakina's mind worked frantically, reassessing everything she had learned. If the ritual was designed for transference rather than destruction, perhaps that was the key. Not to avoid the transference, but to control it. Stop, she commanded, stepping forward. I'll complete the ritual willingly. Both Adahi and the entity froze, suspicious of her sudden capitulation. Under one condition, she continued, he goes free, completely free of your influence. The entity's form swirled with calculating interest. You offer yourself in his place? A voluntary sacrifice? Its voice carried greedy anticipation. Such a feast that would provide. Sakina, no. Adahi growled, fighting through his pain. You don't understand what you're offering. I understand perfectly, she replied, her gaze never leaving the entity. A willing sacrifice holds more power than one taken by force. Isn't that right? The entity's form pulsed with excitement. The girl understands ancient magic better than expected. It circled her appraisingly. Yes, a willing vessel, especially one with your spiritual lineage, would provide sustenance for centuries. Then we have a deal? Sakina pressed. His freedom for my surrender? Sakina, don't do this, Adahi pleaded, more of his true self breaking through as he witnessed her apparent sacrifice. The entity considered, its swirling form settling into a more humanoid shape. The Alpha's suffering would be exquisite. If he were forced to watch your submission while unable to claim you himself, it seemed to be weighing options. But your willing surrender holds greater potential. Decide, Sakina demanded, before I reconsider. Very well, the entity declared. Approach the altar, daughter of Istas. Complete the ritual of transference. The Alpha will be released, to live with the knowledge of what his weakness cost you. With deliberate steps, Sakina moved toward the ancient stone, her mind focused on the true ritual hidden within Nehio's journal. Not the false ceremony transcribed for others to find, but the secret notes hidden in symbolic language along the margins. The entity surged forward eagerly as she placed her hands on the cold stone, its form beginning to separate from Adahi. Dark tendrils withdrawing from his spirit to reach for her instead. Sakina! Adahi cried out, clarity returning to his eyes as the curse's grip loosened. Don't sacrifice yourself for me. I'm not, she replied calmly, and began to recite words in an ancient language that predated their people. Words not from Nehio's main text, but from the hidden marginalia. The entity recoiled in sudden alarm. Those are not the words of transference. What deception is this? The true ritual, Sakina explained, continuing the incantation without pause. Not to transfer the curse or to break it, but to bind it. Understanding dawned in Adahi's eyes. The binding symbols around the hot spring were never meant to protect us from the curse, she confirmed, but to create a container for it. The entity shrieked, its form destabilizing as it realized the trap. You cannot contain what has existed for centuries. We are too powerful. Perhaps, Sakina acknowledged, completing the final phrases of the ancient binding. But you made one critical mistake. What mistake? The entity demanded, its form now visibly struggling against unseen constraints. You assumed I came to save Adahi from you, she replied, her voice steady despite the tremendous spiritual energy now coursing through the clearing. But I came to save you both from the cycle. With the final word of the binding ritual, the stone altar began to glow with symbols identical to those Sakina had drawn around the hot spring in the physical world. The entity howled in rage and desperation as it was inexorably pulled toward the stone. This imprisonment cannot hold us forever, it threatened, fighting against the ritual's pull. It doesn't need to, Sakina replied. Only long enough. The entity's form compressed painfully, drawn into the now glowing altar despite its resistance. Long enough for what? Instead of answering, Sakina turned to Adahi, whose spirit now stood free of the shadow tendrils, his eyes clear for the first time in days. Do you trust me? She asked him softly. His answer came without hesitation. With my life. Then take my hand, she instructed, extending her palm toward him. And let go of everything else. As their fingers intertwined, Sakina completed the true purpose of Nehiyo's ritual. Not transference or binding, but transformation. The altar pulsed with blinding light as the entity was fully absorbed into it, trapped, but not destroyed. What happens now? Adahi asked, holding tightly to her hand as the spirit realm began to shudder and distort around them. Sakina met his gaze steadily. Now we pay the price that all transformations demand. Together? He asked, understanding dawning in his eyes. Together, she confirmed, as the world of spirit collapsed inward, sending them hurtling back toward their physical bodies, and whatever awaited them on the other side. Vortices of light and shadow swirled around them as consciousness returned. Sakina broke the surface of the hot spring, gasping, her lungs burning as if she'd been underwater, for hours rather than minutes. Beside her, Adahi emerged with a similar desperation for air, his eyes wild with the memory of where they'd been. Around them, the canyon glowed with unearthly brilliance as twin moons reached perfect alignment directly overhead. The convergence, at its apex. The water pulsed with opalescent energy, steam rising in patterns that mirrored the binding symbols Sakina had drawn hours earlier. Did it work? Nita's voice called from the canyon rim, where the hunting party watched in astonished silence. Before either could answer, the central pool erupted in a geyser of luminescent water, throwing Sakina and Adahi in opposite directions. The liquid suspended impossibly in midair, forming into a vaguely humanoid shape that contained echoes of the entity they had confronted in the spirit realm. You think mere binding can contain what I am? The entity's voice reverberated through the physical world, distorted but recognizable. I have existed since the first shifter betrayed sacred bonds. I will exist long after your bloodlines are dust. Adahi struggled to his feet, water streaming from his powerful frame. Sakina felt a surge of hope as she saw his skin, clear of the dark veins that had mapped the curse's influence. The binding holds, she called to him. Its physical manifestation is just the aftershock. The watery apparition turned toward her, its form rippling with rage. Clever little descendant, you did not seek to destroy me but to imprison me. Its laugh carried the voices of countless trapped souls. But prisons require jailers, and jailers must remain vigilant forever. Comprehension dawned across Adahi's features. The sacrifice, he realized, not death, but eternal vigilance. One of us must stay connected to the binding, Sakina. Confirmed, the truth she had withheld now revealed. A spiritual anchor to maintain the containment. Then it will be me. Adahi stated without hesitation, moving toward the pulsing apparition. No! Both Sakina and the entity cried simultaneously, though for vastly different reasons. It must be me, Sakina insisted. My bloodline began this. Istas was the first victim of the cycle in our families. It's my responsibility to end it. Your responsibility? Adahi challenged, his voice regaining the authority of the Alpha. My ancestor caused the original violation. The debt is mine to pay. The entity's watery form swirled with malicious delight. How touching. Two volunteers for eternal imprisonment. It expanded, looming over the canyon floor. But fate has already decided which of you belongs to me. Tendrils of luminescent water shot toward Sakina, wrapping around her limbs with frightening strength. The daughter of Istas has the stronger connection. Her spirit resonates with the original binding. Release her! Adahi roared, charging forward only to be thrown back by an invisible barrier. Sakina struggled against the entity's grip, but each movement only seemed to strengthen its hold. Adahi, complete the ritual, she cried. The final words in Nehiyo's margin, speak them. The entity laughed as Adahi frantically searched his memory. He doesn't know them. The knowledge was given only to you, as it must be. the sacrifice chooses itself. Sakina? What are the words? Adahi demanded, pressing against the barrier that separated them. She opened her mouth to respond, but found her voice suddenly silenced by the entity's power. Desperation filled her, as she realized the trap. The ritual could be completed only with both participants, but the entity would prevent her from sharing the critical knowledge. From the canyon rim, Nita cried out in horror as her sister was slowly dragged toward the central pool, which now churned with ominous darkness. The hunting party shifted forms, powerful wolves hurling themselves against the barrier only to be repelled. Adahi's mind raced, reviewing everything he'd learned about the curse, about Nehio's ritual, about the nature of mate bonds among their people. There had to be a connection he was missing. The pack bonds, he suddenly realized. We don't need words when we share consciousness. Among shifters, particularly alphas, a rare ability existed. The capacity to enter a shared mental state with pack members in moments of extreme need. It was rarely used due to its invasive nature, requiring absolute trust between participants. Focusing his alpha energy, Adahi directed his consciousness toward Sakina with every ounce of his considerable will. The barrier between them held against physical crossing, but couldn't block this spiritual connection. One born not of possession, but of mutual respect. Sakina, he called mentally. Let me in. She felt his presence at the edges of her consciousness, understood his intent immediately, and instead of resisting as any shifter instinctively would, she opened her mind completely. The entity shrieked as it sensed what was happening. No, this violated the terms. The sacrifice must be singular. But it was too late. The connection formed between them was unlike anything described in their histories. Not the dominant bond of an alpha claiming a subordinate, but a perfect equilibrium of equals offering themselves to each other. Through their shared consciousness, the final words of Nehio's ritual flowed from Sakina to Adahi. Together, their voices joined in perfect harmony, speaking the ancient language that predated their people. What was broken through possession shall be healed through surrender. What was corrupted through force shall be purified through choice. Two spirits freely joined create a vessel no darkness can inhabit. The entity thrashed violently as the ritual's true nature revealed itself. Not a transfer or binding of the curse, but its transformation. The water making up its form began to steam and evaporate, each molecule separating from the collective. You cannot destroy me, it howled, its many voices fragmenting. I am eternal. We don't seek to destroy. You, Sakina replied, finding her voice restored as the entity's power diminished. But to release you. Release? Confusion rippled through the entity's disintegrating form. Adahi stepped forward, the barrier now dissolved. Nehio understood that you weren't originally malevolent. You were corrupted, just as our ancestors were. Understanding dawned across the entity's features. The original guardian spirit, you seek to return me to that form? Not exactly, Sakina explained. What was corrupted cannot simply revert to its original state, but it can be transformed into something new. As the twin moons reached the precise alignment of the convergence, a beam of combined light struck the central pool with physical force. The entity's form shattered into countless points of light, each containing a fragment of the souls it had absorbed over centuries. One by one, these lights rose toward the moons. Spirits finally released from the cycle of possession and destruction that had bound them. Adahi and Sakina stood transfixed as generations of their ancestors found freedom, including, finally, the unmistakable forms of Makia and Istas, whose spirits lingered momentarily before them. The debt is paid, Makia's spirit seemed to say, though no actual words were spoken. The cycle ends with you. Istas's ethereal form reached toward Sakina with an expression of profound gratitude before both spirits ascended to join the others, disappearing into the light of the converging moons. As the last soul fragment departed, the water in the central pool stilled completely, its surface becoming like polished glass. Within its depths, a small, pulsing light remained. Not the malevolent entity they had confronted, but something new and undefined. "What remains?" Adahi asked softly, his hand finding Sakina's. "The original guardian," she replied with wonder. "Purified of corruption, but forever changed by its experience." She squeezed his hand. "Like us." From the canyon rim, Nita and the hunting party watched in astonished silence as the aftermath of the ritual manifested physically. The binding symbols Sakina had drawn glowed briefly, then sank into the stone as if absorbed by the earth itself. "It's over," she called up to them. "The curse is broken," disbelief and hope warred on the faces above. Slowly, cautiously, Nita began descending toward them, followed by the elder warrior who had granted them until midnight. "Your eyes," Nita said as she approached Adahi. "They're normal again." Adahi nodded, the amber glow that had marked both his alpha status and the curse's influence now reduced to the natural golden flecks that had always been part of his irises. "Not just normal," the elder warrior observed, studying him closely. "Different." Sakina understood what he meant. Though the darkness had vanished, something fundamental had shifted in Adahi, and in herself. The ritual had indeed required sacrifice, not of life or freedom, but of who they had been before. "The alpha power," Adahi confirmed, sensing the change within himself. "It's altered." Traditionally, an alpha's power flowed from dominance, the ability to bend others to their will through force of personality and spiritual strength. But what now resided within Adahi felt different. A leadership rooted not in command, but in connection. "The council will want to examine you both," the elder warrior said carefully, "to confirm the curse is truly broken." "Let them," Sakina replied. "They'll find no trace of it, but they will find something else. A new kind of bond." As dawn approached, painting the canyon walls with golden light, the hunting party escorted them back toward pack territory. Physically exhausted but spiritually recharged, Sakina and Adahi walked side by side, their hands occasionally brushing in a contact that felt simultaneously familiar and entirely new. "What happens now?" Nita asked quietly, falling into step beside her sister. "The council expected to declare Adahi rogue. They've already discussed succession." "Politics," Sakina sighed. "Even with ancient curses and spirit realms, we still come back to pack." "Politics." "The pack needs stability," Adahi acknowledged. "And they deserve a choice after what they've witnessed." His humility struck Sakina. Another change wrought by their ordeal. The old Adahi, though fair and respected, had never questioned his right to lead. This new version held his authority more lightly, recognizing it as responsibility rather than privilege. 3 days later, the full council assembled in the Great Hall where the disastrous ceremony had begun. The crack in the stone floor remained, though it had somehow transformed, crystalline material filling the gap like a vein of opal running through the rock, a permanent reminder of boundaries crossed and healed. Elder Maka presided, his expression solemn as Adahi and Sakina stood before the gathered pack. Lenora sat among the elders, her milky eyes seeing more than anyone realized. "We have verified through ancient methods that the curse which threatened our alpha and our pack has indeed been broken," Maka announced. "Not merely contained or transferred, but fundamentally transformed." Murmurs of relief rippled through the assembly. "However," he continued, "this transformation extends to the Alpha himself. Adahi no longer carries the traditional mantle of leadership as we have known it." Tension replaced relief as pack members exchanged worried glances. In their history, a changed Alpha typically meant a challenge for leadership, often bloody and divisive. Adahi stepped forward. What Elder Maka says is true. The power I carried before has been altered through the ritual of transformation. His voice carried easily through the hall, commanding attention without demanding it. Therefore, I stand before you not claiming leadership by right, but offering it by choice. Confusion spread through the gathering. This was unprecedented, and Alpha voluntarily placing his position before the pack. The curse that nearly destroyed us was born from possession, from the belief that power means control over others, Adahi continued. What replaced it within me is different. It offers connection rather than command, protection without possession. Sakina watched the assembly's reaction, noting how the younger members leaned forward with interest, while some elders frowned at this deviation from tradition. If the pack chooses to accept this new form of leadership, I will serve as I always have, with dedication to our welfare and future, Adahi concluded. If not, I will step aside without challenge or resentment. Silence fell over the hall as his words sank in. Then, unexpectedly, Lenora rose from her seat among the Gi elders. Before the pack makes this choice, she said, her voice carrying surprising strength, they should understand what truly happened in Ghost Canyon. Her milky eyes somehow found Sakina. And the other half of this transformation. All eyes turned to Sakina, who stepped forward to stand beside Adahi. The ritual that broke the curse required both of us, she explained. Not as sacrifice and savior, but as equal participants in transformation. What emerged affects us both. Speak plainly, one council member demanded. What exactly are you saying? Adahi answered, his voice steady. The leadership I offer is not singular, but shared. The ritual bound us in ways that transcend traditional mate bonds or pack hierarchy. We stand before you as two halves of a balanced whole. Outrage erupted from the traditional faction. Never in their history had leadership been shared, particularly not with a female who wasn't even from the Alpha's direct bloodline. Others, especially younger pack members, appeared intrigued or supportive. This is abomination, an elder council member shouted. Worse than the curse itself, is it? Nita's voice cut through the clamor as she moved to stand beside her sister. Our most ancient histories speak of leadership balanced between strength and wisdom, between protection and nurturing. Perhaps we haven't lost tradition, but rediscovered it. Elder Maka raised his hands for silence. This decision affects every member of our pack. It must be considered carefully, without haste or emotion. Let them demonstrate, came a suggestion from the back of the hall. Heads turned to find its source, a young mother with a child at her hip. If their bond truly represents a new form of leadership, let us witness it in action before deciding. Murmurs of agreement spread through the gathering. Even skeptical elders nodded reluctantly, seeing wisdom and observation over immediate judgment. A trial period, Maka suggested, looking to Adahi and Sakina. 3 moons, during which you will lead as you propose, after which the pack will render final decision. Agreed, Adahi said without hesitation. Agreed, Sakina echoed, relief flooding through her. It wasn't acceptance, but it was an opportunity. The seasons turned as autumn gave way to winter, then the first tentative signs of spring. The 3-moon trial period extended, then became permanent as the pack witnessed the effectiveness of balanced leadership. Adahi's strength remained, but tempered now with a deeper understanding of when force was needed and when compassion served better. Sakina's strategic mind complemented his tactical instincts, while her diplomatic skills helped forge stronger alliances with neighboring packs. Most significantly, the energy between them created something the pack hadn't experienced in generations, a sense of harmony that extended beyond mere cooperation into a form of collective awareness. Young shifters found greater control over their transformations. Disputes resolved more easily. Even the hunting grounds seemed more bountiful. On the anniversary of the convergence, Sakina stood once more at the cliff edge where she had watched Adahi hunt a year earlier. So much had changed in 12 months. Herself most of all. Still admiring the view? Adahi's voice came from behind her, warm with affection. Always, she replied as he joined her, his hand finding hers with the casual intimacy they now shared. Below them, pack members prepared for the spring celebration, setting up for the first ceremony to be held outdoors rather than in the Great Hall. Another change that symbolized their new approach to leadership. Nita says the Eastern Packs are sending representatives, Adahi noted. They're curious about what they're calling the Nahimana Miracle. Sakina smiled. Is that what we are? A miracle? I prefer evolution, he replied thoughtfully. A necessary adaptation to ensure our survival. The bond between them pulsed with shared emotion. Not the possessive fixation of the curse, but something deeper and more sustaining. The ritual had indeed transformed them both, creating a connection that neither dominated nor submitted, but existed in perfect equilibrium. Do you ever regret it? She asked softly. The loss of traditional alpha power? Adahi considered the question seriously. I regret not understanding sooner that true strength never came from power over others. His eyes, clear and steady, met hers. What we gained is worth infinitely more than what we sacrificed. From the central pool in Ghost Canyon, legend said, a small light sometimes rose on particularly clear nights, not the malevolent entity that had threatened to consume them, but something healing and protective. Shifters who drank from those waters report dreams of ancestors at peace, the cycle of destruction finally broken. They're waiting for us, Sakina observed, as Nita waved from below, signaling that the ceremony preparations were complete. Then let's not disappoint them, Adahi replied, turning from the cliff edge with her hand still in his. As they descended, toward their gathered pack, the setting sun painted the canyon in hues of gold and crimson, not the colors of blood and possession that had haunted their nightmares, but of transformation and rebirth. Behind them, twin moons began their ascent, no longer harbingers of ancient curses, but symbols of balance restored. What had begun in obsession had transformed through choice. What had been broken through possession had healed through surrender. And in that healing, generations of spirits finally found peace. The curse was broken. The cycle ended. But the story, their story, continued, writing itself anew with each choice, each moment of balance maintained between shadow and flame, between strength and compassion, between the wolf and the human heart. Together, whispers travel through. The canyons still, but no longer carry ancient malice. Now they speak of the alpha pair, who transformed not just themselves, but the very nature of leadership among the shifter packs of the Southwest. Some call it legend, others miracle. But those who walk the paths between worlds know it as evolution, the natural progression of beings who refuse to be defined by their past. In the years that followed the breaking of the curse, packs across, the continent sent representatives to study the Nahimana approach. Some rejected it outright, clinging to traditions of dominance and hierarchy. Others adopted aspects that suited their unique circumstances. A few embraced it completely, forming their own balanced leadership councils. The small light that remained in Ghost Canyon's central pool grew over time, occasionally manifesting as a guardian spirit when pack members faced particular challenges or threats. Unlike its corrupted predecessor, this entity never sought to possess or control, but offered guidance and protection freely given, freely received. Sakina and Adahi led their pack for many years, their bond deepening with each challenge overcome. When they eventually stepped aside for the next generation of leaders, they did so not with reluctance, but with the satisfaction of having transformed not just a curse, but a culture. Their descendants would tell their story not as a cautionary tale of possession and destruction, but as a testament to the power of choosing connection over control, of finding strength in surrender, and of transforming ancient shadows into new light. In the end, perhaps that was the greatest magic of all.